Minnesota Reads on KUMD is produced with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Martha Phillips is our guest this morning, and she has produced, and I say produced because it's more in this instance than just written, the most incredible book. It's called Border Country. It's huge, and it is heavy. Let me tell you, if you judge books by, can I read this in the tub? This is one you are not going to take into the tub. And yet you're going to want to hunch over it on the kitchen table or on your lap on the couch, wherever it might be, and just dive into it. Martha Phillips joins us on the phone this morning. Hi, Martha. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning to you.
Definitely not tub reading, which is just one of the many, many ways in my family that we evaluate books, because we just love books, period. This incredible book came from the journals of your father. Is that right?
That is correct.
Tell us a little bit about how that evolved.
Well, I think I have to start off with the wake-up call of my dad. Was much older when I was born. And so these journals, which date back from the turn of the 20th century, are his personal journals of trips up in the Northlands in areas familiar to you all now is Guetico and the border, and the Boundary Waters, and other areas up along the Canadian border. My dad was born in 1864. He was a Civil War baby, and he went on to do the normal things. He went to college. He got it, worked in his father's business, and at the turn of the century, he had a family and wanted to get his boys out of the city. So he started going on canoe trips, and that's the basis of these many trips and journals, just to fill in the blanks, because people will ask, later in life, as a widower, he met a young woman, fell in love, and had a second family much later in his life. So that is how I came to have these wonderful journals. After my mom died, I had asked for them, and she was willing for me to have them, and I just couldn't keep them private. It felt like it was a crime to not share them with people who would be interested. And there's been great interest, so that's been very rewarding.
And it's a way, I would imagine that it was a way, too, to keep your dad close.
Well, yes, and I didn't start off with that. It was more a matter of, these are incredibly valuable journals. I shouldn't keep them on my private bookshelf. I wasn't searching my dad. I mean, it's been a long time. But in the process of writing the book and going through his journals and researching where he had been, I got to know my dad as a younger man. I got to know my half-brothers well. And I got to travel with them, which was quite a gift.
Oh, no kidding.
Especially considering that at that point, girls didn't go on these trips, and my one half sister was not, you know, was never taken on these trips. It was all boys and men, you know, sort of roughing it, sort of
right
1900 style.
Right.
And so I got to go, and I wouldn't have if I'd been around. You know, I felt at the end of the 6 years or so that I researched this, I felt like, well, I got to go on these trips. What a deal.
Now, tell me where the incredible photographs came from, because the book is illustrated so lavishly and beautifully with photographs, and this from a time when, obviously, photography was a much bigger deal, much more of a pain than to simply whip out a phone and take a bunch of pictures of you while you're on your camping trip. I mean, this was a huge production at that time.
Absolutely.
Where did the pictures come from?
Well, they're all my dad's pictures, and he had he took a large format camera, a big Graflex wooden camera, the kind you see, you know, pictured with a person with a hood over their head taking pictures. He carried that. He carried glass plate negatives in the early trips. Later on, went to film negatives. But on all these trips, he carried a camera, and over the 10 years that he was doing the canoe trips, he took over 800 pictures. So for this book, we edited down the numbers severely. There were only a couple hundred in this book, but there were 700 and some to choose from.
Was your dad a photographer, quote-unquote, in real life?
He was a businessman, but he loved to take pictures, and he was a good photographer, a good amateur.
Okay, so I now do not have to make excuses any longer when I start hauling my gear everywhere, including onto the back porch. I'll say, well, someday maybe you'll make a book out of these.
And if you don't, you're still having a wonderful time.
That's very true.
I have my dad's interest. I'm not sure I have his abilities. I often am hopping out on our front deck here. We live on the Wisconsin River. And hopping out on the deck, you know, in pajamas, taking telephoto pictures of, you know, eagles and things.
Mm-hmm.
It's an addiction. It's a good addiction.
It is. I think we need to get together, Martha. It sounds like we have a lot in common. So what, I think it's a dream of many kids, many, not maybe all of them, but I think it's a dream of some people. I wish I could have, you know, we started thinking about it after Back to the Future, maybe. I wish I could have known my folks when they were my age.
Mm-hmm.
And would I have liked them? And would I have wanted to hang out with them? What was your impression from that standpoint as you got to know your dad as a younger man? Did you think, I would have hung out with him. He was cool.
Yes, definitely. He's very much in character. When I went into doing the book, I found no surprises. He was a consistent character, a fun one, sometimes pedantic, you know, very literate kind of person, but a lot of fun. There's a tremendous amount of humor in this book, and I found that consistent with who he was. The only difference was it's just being like, oh, as a man, he was also an interesting person. He had good friends. They got along well. It was just nice to see that piece of him more fully fleshed out.
Martha, do you journal?
I have, but I don't always. What I tend to do instead now is when something I want to write about, I may write it down just for myself. But as often as not, I'll write a letter. I have friends that I write letters with. And so I will send a letter to one of my good friends who likes to read and write letters back, and we'll sort of, it's almost like a journaling process, but just a different form.
And it is so wonderful to have friends like that. I miss a couple of those good friendships where you can really pull your life out and kind of examine it and ask for feedback and ask for help and send it out into the ether to a listening ear somewhere.
Exactly, yes. And it doesn't even have to be problem solving. It can just be sharing the joy at seeing something or being aware of something nice happening. Yes. Sharing that with others is as important as a personal journal to me.
There is that magic piece of communication where you've got to involve somebody else. Sometimes it isn't. There's something missing if someone else is not there to witness it or to somehow share the experience with you.
I agree. And also, it's becoming more and more clear that writing, that physical act of writing, is very important to your brain development and to a lot of things. There's a lot going on with that. So I like to think that in writing, you know, you get a clearer picture of things and you communicate better than at least those of us who grew up without a keyboard attached to our hands.
Right. I hope it doesn't not count if you still type. I can sure do. My wrist wears out if I'm handwriting, but I can type long letters.
It still counts.
Good.
I just think there's another layer added for those of us who like a written word.
Exactly. Martha, thank you so very much for joining us this morning, and thank you so much for sharing your father and his wonderful, evocative glimpse through his written word and his photographs into what life was like. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for everything, and it's nice to have this opportunity. Have a good day, Lisa.
You too. Our guest this morning, Martha Phillips. She has written, compiled, put together. I've written is sort of an odd word, but she has put together, she has produced this amazing, beautiful creation from her father's journals and photographs. It's called Border Country by Martha Green Phillips, and it came out via the University of Minnesota Press. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.